I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 482. We're not just blurreds.
We're floored.
This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hi.
How you doing?
Well, you should know.
I know how you're doing. I just seen you.
I am emotionally really, really, really high, like at like a 10.
Yeah. You physically, though, you are wrecked.
I have a debuff thanks to the great concoction skills of the black wizard that is Ninja Sister. Get her behind a bar and give her...
Getting me behind a bar, on front of the bar, on top of the bar, just...
Give her a mortal and piston, give her some random liquor and she will, and like some orange juice, and she will turn it out.
I'll tell you right now, you give me some cranberry juice and the liquor that you have, and I will make a concoction.
She is truly a ninja of not only ninja arts, but of, like, mixology.
Yeah, I am a mixology ninja. I forgot to mention that that was my ninja specialty.
Like, that's what
I am, the Kunoichi of mixing.
And, like, she'll hit you with something where you think you're safe. Like, you don't feel any type
of fear. You're fine till like, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Word. Like, here I am in my nice king-size bed, and 2:30 rolls around, and, like, I am spinning, and, like, I don't understand why.
And you're
why.
Not even talking like Diplo, you just spinning.
And it's just, and my life makes no sense.
And oh, like, the drinks weren't that good. They weren't that good. They were good, though.
No, no. Danger, and then high voltage together.
I know. And here's the thing. Like, that's what I've named those drinks now. Danger and high voltage.
And you have to drink them in that order.
You do. Don't drink them the other order. Don't drink them the other order. You might die.
You'll get fucked up.
You might die.
Yeah. Yeah.
You might. It's a possibility.
Make sure that you've had, like, 2 full meals before
drinking. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, that's like a warning label that should come with any drink that I make. You need food in your system before you must be this full.
Oh my god,
to drink this drink.
Like, you have to be like, actually, I don't think I should drink. That is when you're comfortable to drink with this.
Right.
When you physically can't even finish the drink.
Yeah, that's when you should attempt.
It will send you on a magic voyage that you may or may not be ready.
That's
for.
When you can attempt high voltage. But enough about that. Although it was a very fun time. And I did make delicious beverages, and have great nosh.
I agree.
But enough about Cousin Weekend. We can't really talk about, because you had to just be there, and you weren't there because you're not our cousins.
Well, I mean, you're our cousins, but you're not our cousins.
I mean, you're family, but you're not our cousins. See, like, that's
better.
So a couple of quick updates that I want to share before we get into our show of shows. As we are continuing to celebrate our 10th anniversary month. Yay!
Yay!
Anniversary! I had
Holy
mentioned...
I had... can't believe that. I really can't.
Yeah, 10 years, dude.
I can't.
10 years. We've been doing this a decade. A decade of podcasting.
I can't.
Boom!
I can't.
We were blurreds on the internet before blurting was a thing. Officially. Anyway...
I know. We're the OG.
We are the OG female blurreds.
Yep.
The flurds.
Yes.
Blurfs? I don't know. I don't even know if there's a word for it, and I don't think it would be a fun word anyway, but I had mentioned on our podcast that I had started listening to Two Dope Queens and highly recommended that people take a listen to the podcast.
Yes.
They are blowing up. So if you haven't gotten on it, get on it. Just have to say, like, I love whoever's running their social is an absolute amazeballs person. I don't know about genius, but they're wicked sweet. I reached out to them on social and was like, hey, just want to let you know, like, I have a podcast. I've been doing it forever with my sister. And, like, we are completely obsessed with Two Dope Queens. And we're plugging you on our podcast. And, like, you're dope. And keep being dope. And
keep
also
being dopely and queenly.
And we would love to be on your podcast at some point in time. And we can make it Four Dope Queens. And, like, have the whole deck covered.
It could be three dope queens and a dope queen wannabe, because I'm not on that level.
You can be dope when you want to be dope.
Right, but it's not a consistent, I was about to say.
Yeah, your dopeness is not consistent.
I was about to say constipated. It's not a constipated dope.
Well, I should hope it's not constipated, because if it is, you should probably, like, take something for that.
But it's not consistent, like, I have to pull from, like, the dopiest, dankest meme part of my being.
And yeah, but here's the thing, though, sis. Like, all that really takes is a little bit of Jameson, and then you're right there. Like, let's be legit. Put a little Jameson in your cup, and all of a sudden, you are a live dank meme.
I'm dank memes.
You just,
all day, every day.
You are a walking pile of dankness.
I'm the rarest of Pepes.
And then I'm just like, what happened? Like, where did all of this come from? And then
from
I'm like, the Jameson.
The recesses of the back of my heart.
It came from the Jameson. That's what happened. So Lord knows what happens if you get any Henny in you. Woo!
I know.
I don't know what happens then, but I kind of want to see
voltage.
It.
That's what happens.
Maybe.
That's not something I'm ever willing to test outside of, like, a padded room for a week.
Or, you know, like, my living room. Science. Pick them. But it is for science, so we'll have to test that out one weekend.
Oh, God.
So we'll see how that goes. But I want to reiterate, I absolutely love the podcast. They are two of the funniest women doing comedy, I think, today. And I absolutely love their podcast, how witty they are. If you haven't checked out Two Dope Queens, do it. Get on it. Subscribe to it. And if we end up actually ever being on the podcast, trust me, you'll be hearing about it for, like, weeks here, because I heart them. So that's the first update there. And their social is amazing. Two, in case you haven't been paying attention, PAX East is just around the corner. We're going to be talking about it later on in the show, but we will be there in force. So please make sure that you are checking out our website, and that if you haven't yet liked us on Facebook or followed us on Twitter, that you've done that. And I'm proud to say that we will be launching our Instagram account at PAX East, so you'll be able to follow us on Instagram well and see
all the fancy, expensive hot dogs Panda will eat and then bitch
about. Panda will be eating a lot of expensive hot dogs.
No, I will eat one expensive hot dog and bitch about it.
Don't lie. You're going to get, like, two, because the line for the hot dogs is always, always smaller than the line for everything else.
Everything else.
You're okay, right. I'm recommending that we go to BJ's this week and we pack snackages in our bags so that we don't have to.
You don't have to resort to fucking expensive hot dogs.
Like, I'm gonna get, like, a bunch of fruit snacks.
Oh, man.
Right?
Yeah.
Because think about it. If you've got, like, four packs of fruit snacks in your bag, do,
like,
you really need a slice of pizza?
I want to walk out of the Hot Pocket and be like, hey, sir, if I give you $2, can you heat this for 2 minutes?
Okay. Like, let's be smart, because we're not having to carry a lot of gear this year.
Thank God for that.
Okay. So you could pack a little lunchbox with one of those little freeze pack things and put some Lunchables in there. What? What? Like, get like me on this level, Panda.
Wrap,
like,
and a fruit by the foot.
Think this is what I'm saying.
And a Capri Sun.
And then
two
you
Capri
Sun. Yo, right? Right? If we get there early enough in the morning, we can get a locker and just put the freaking fridge pack in the locker, dude. Like, I'm trying to get on that next level thinking. Because the thing that takes the most time at PAX East is footage.
It's footage, yeah.
It's always footage.
No, I can't say that for me. Because for me, I think the thing that takes me the longest time is the downtime when I'm writing something. Because, you know,
Sometimes you get the brain farts.
Well, like, you're just in this rush. Like, you're in this zone with this interview. It ends. You're like, shit, I gotta get to the fucking media room. And it's not like they can put the media room somewhere.
I know, the media room is always far, far, far away. It's like
first day freaking of all the
Dagobah. And
you've done 8 interviews. You're like, man, I gotta write all this shit down. Let me get to the media room. 20 minutes later, you make it to the media room. There's no seats in the media room. So you're kind of like waiting for someone to get their ass up because you know some of them are just kind of hanging out.
Because they tired as fuck.
Fuck. And then you finally get there and you're like, all right, time to write. And you're like, shit, all that energy. And like, I will make up the best titles for my pieces while I'm walking to the media room. And by the time I get to the media room, I have forgotten half of them.
Panda,
and I
hate you have voice memos on your phone. Just like as you have the thought, whip out your phone, open up a voice memo, fucking tell Siri to make a reminder. Like, you have the technology to avoid this.
I know. But see, here,
you've had it all along.
Makes all the sense. And then when she leaves, Rational Panda has like a bout of like.
You want to know why? Because she didn't have fruit snacks. If you have the fruit snacks, your brain fires on all of the neurons, though.
Her body was, like, pulling from her fat so that she could make it to the fucking...
I'm going
to
tell you right now. I'm going to get a big thing of fruit snacks. Fruit snacks and gummy bears. And if you need a recharge, you just need to find me on the show floor, and I will be your recharge.
Like, yo, I'm kind of running low on my sugar.
Boom. Bam! Got it. Right there. What you need. What you want. I got them gummy bears. I got the Haribo.
Hydrated. Boom. Mini polar water for you.
Yep.
Not that good Poland Spring shit. We
yeah, no, 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 no. We don't just have it like that.
Polar
just
water.
Just the regular polar, you know, with the little bear on it, but it's still,
hey. That we kept the tag on it, and it's not just
a... It's about hydration. Like it's not about... You know, anything other than keeping it hydrated, okay? There's no difference. Well, there is a difference, but, like, just pretend that there's no difference.
You got a leg cramp? Here's some magnesium oxide. Help those muscles. Eat some fucking potassium.
I got you.
Banana.
Yo, I got you. Boom, banana. Boom, edamame. Boom, polar water. All set. Go back and conquer.
You got all your protein.
I got you. I got you. So just come and see me. You will have the hookup. I have a little turkey jerky.
We'll talk about patties later.
We will. But
any sense.
But it's going to be a fun time. So before we get into all that stuff, I had said that I was going to be talking about anime this podcast. Guess what? I am. But before I do that, there were some updates that happened this week.
Like my dick.
No.
Okay, fine. Not like my dick.
Correct, because you don't have a dick. We've had this conversation. You have a vagina, not a butt peen.
A butt peen?
Yeah, you don't have that. You don't have that. You have a vagina, not butt peen. Okay? Okay, now let's move along.
You're the boss, boss.
I am, so just trust me on this. One of the things I want to talk about, one of the things that got updated... was Destiny. Hey, it's been a while since I've talked about Destiny, hasn't it? Yeah, it has. What? Is it coming back? The addiction? Am I going to have to do 5 minutes of Destiny every podcast? The answer may surprise you.
No, it will be 10 seconds with Division.
So here's the deal. Bunch of stuff was released on April 12th for Destiny. I will preface all of what I'm about to say with the, I still have not run the new raid.
All right.
Yes.
Neither have I.
That came with Taken King in Destiny. My characters are so low on the light level scale of things. It's really laughable. Our clan has even been like, so no, seriously, you need to come back. Like, we can run as a pack. We'll help you get there. And I'm like, no, guys, like, I'm so below all of you. It's going to take forever. Forever. And I don't want to do that. Because, like, I only have one character that's level 40, but, like, barely has 200 light. And that's my hunter. My other two characters are still sitting pretty prominently at 38. So not even... the quick 40 that you get by going through the initial just Taken King tutorial shit. So that there's a lot that I've missed. Let's just put it like that. And partly because when Quest came out, it just became so overwhelming, all the things that you could do. especially to get your third subclass. And I just got really lost in all of it, in all honesty. You know, previously, before that, it was very kind of linear what you needed to do and where you needed to go to get things done. And it, everything just kind of exploded for me in the game. And having three characters trying to keep up and do all of that, it just really became overwhelming and tedious. For me.
For you.
Okay. And so I bowed out of it, especially because there were other games that were coming out that I was very interested in playing. That, you know, were a different experience. And I even bounced back into some older games. It's when I started playing Viva Pinata again to go through some of the backwards compatibility stuff. And I jumped into Street Fighter for a little bit, knowing that we also had, you know, other games coming. And I went back to Infinity for a while. I needed a palate cleanser, and I needed to take a step away from Destiny for a while. But it's...
I'm glad you made that decision, by the way.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you. What's really interesting is that the update for Destiny doesn't really feel like they added a lot of stuff. Like the Taken King big update, they really have added mostly tweaks. But the tweaks seem to, for a lot of people, make the game feel more balanced and gives people more to do. Like, I think ultimately for me, the main reason that I backed out of Destiny is because it felt like all of the really cool stuff, all of the really fun stuff, was dependent on PvP. And I hate PvP. I suck at it.
I know you do, bro. I know.
And when you
It's just not for everybody.
It's though. Not for everybody, and it's just not for me. And it's not just because I personally am not good at it. I tend to not, when I ad hoc jump into teams, I tend to get paired up with people who aren't really very focused on functioning as a team. It's kind of like, I'll get mine, and, you know, fuck you, you better get yours. And I just, if I'm in a team dynamic, I don't function well when my team isn't really interested in playing like a team. Like, they don't want to communicate with each other. Everybody's just out to get their kill streak up. And, you know, fuck you if you're not able to do the same. And a lot of the times, jumping into Destiny, that happened. But the update adds new gear. You can get blighted gear now. And so you can end up looking like one of the blighted, helmet and all. And it has increased light level. They changed how infusion works. So you are more apt to have balanced infusion with weapons and with gear now. As to, you know, before it would just... Basically, if you took a high piece of gear and infused it into a lower piece of gear, it would marginally raise it. You would expect that it would dramatically raise its level, and oftentimes it didn't. And so, you know, now if you infuse a, you know, 180 piece of gear with something that's 320, where before you would get something that would be more like on the 240 scale, you'll now get something that's closer to the low 300s and may have some other tweaks to the weapon's balance or the gear's balance. So there's more of an incentive to infuse weapons now as opposed to just selling them or holding on to them and putting them in your vault and never touching them again unless they're going to another character, things like that. So that's really interesting to see. They added a new strike.
Do you know anything about that?
So it's called the Blighted Chalice Strike.
Okay.
And I believe that the Blighted Chalice Strike is the strikes that you go through to get the blighted gear. But they also changed Prison of Elders.
Oh. I never finished all the way through the end of that.
Yeah,
I sound so devastated about that too. By the way,
yeah, really, you sound like so messed up about it.
You guys can feel the pain. Do you feel it?
Yeah,
I know I do.
No, I didn't. I didn't do the super hard one. Yeah, I did. I had to think about that for a second. I ran through with some of the guys from our clan, but I was able to run through and take out what's his face, the hard dude.
You got him in the face?
I got him in the face.
Was it good and satisfying? Because, I mean, that's the thing I think I miss from when I was playing Destiny, not necessarily religiously, I did have like an established time of, okay, if I'm going to play, I'm going to play now type of mindset, I think I was in, sort of.
Uh-huh.
But like, I kind of miss doing that stuff, like with you and like some of our friends where I would get together and do that stuff. So, I mean, that I do have to say that that game had a really good way of bringing people together to do stuff. And I do miss that, that aspect. That's really the only thing I miss, really.
And that's the thing that I enjoy a lot in the MMO arena is the getting together and figuring things out with friends or making new friends. And I have to say that that's a piece that I've missed from not running around with our clan in Destiny for a while, especially because a big chunk of the guys that are in our clan are not on the Xbox, so I don't get to play with them as much, because I think like only one of the guys actually in our clan has an Xbox One. Most of the games that I play over there, he doesn't play. So it's definitely something that I miss, the camaraderie, but I have picked it up in different ways in different games. While Destiny was a big thing that kept me active on my PlayStation, like, in all honesty, I really haven't touched my PlayStation since I stopped playing Destiny, and I probably won't kick it back on until I jump into Uncharted.
Which, oh god, can that please come faster? I want it so bad.
So, I mean, there's enough going on with, you know, the level cap gets raised, they add more to the Prison of Elders, so there's a more difficulty, so there's new things that you can earn there. But again, a part of that is PvP-based, and it's just not my bandwagon. Like, unless I have dedicated people that I'm running with, I have no interest in PvP. And it's very rare that I can get a group together to, you know, do Iron Banner. Like, I very rarely am able to get, you know, five of my friends together to run through as a whole team to play. And so all that fun gear and that extra end game stuff, I have no real way of attaining. So it's just not of interest to me. So I probably won't be jumping back into Destiny for a while. On the flip side, however, The Division had an update. And I'll be honest with you, The Division update, I'm very interested in. Now, I make no bones, I have been loving playing The Division. I enjoyed the single player stuff as much as I enjoyed the multiplayer stuff. I was able to do about half the missions by myself before I started really forcing myself to play with other people. Like the first four missions I ran by myself, and it took me a bunch of times. And then I went back through and reran them, pairing up with multiplayer. I think the second mission was like the first mission that I went and I played multiplayer with just random people. And then the game started becoming very popular, and more of my friends were playing it, and I ended up running pretty much the rest of the game always with a friend in my party. Whether it was mission-based, we were just running around grinding stuff, catching some of our other friends up who were lower level and guiding them through some missions.
Like me!
Yep, I also played with Björk, and who's one of our writers, and I played with Mayor Young, who we've had on the show before. Lawrence Young, and also played with one of our friends, Redman, who has been writing about video games forever and a day for various publications and newspapers in the California area. So really had a phenomenal time playing with everybody that I played with. Even the ad hoc people that I picked up with seemed to be very focused on functioning as a team, whether they had chat turned on or not, which was a great experience. But the new update adds a bunch of stuff, and I think that it's very balanced between PvE, player versus environment, and PvP, player versus player. So first up, they've added what they call incursions.
Okay, which are?
And these are basically special events, so very similar to like strikes in Destiny.
Okay.
Okay, and incursions are a higher difficulty, but they offer a higher reward for players. It is highly recommended that you team up before you run incursions.
Like, you're not that badass, okay? Get a friend. Maybe get two friends.
Okay.
Maybe three.
But it's specifically designed for squad play. Has lots and lots of great high-level loot. So it's definitely end-game stuff to run. You level 30 in some shit when you jump into that. Falcon Lost is the name of the first incursion. So these are, again, think of them like Strikes in Destiny or any other MMORPG type game that you've played. They're custom end game, very difficult dungeons, strikes, different names, same thing that you run with multiple people to earn Dakuris. And so there are going to be multiple excursions that over time are released on the platform in different areas of the city that will also be tied into the story. So they are continuation points of the story. So even when you reach endgame, the story is not done, which I like. There are some rare sets of gear that are going to be available as part of the incursion set, your reward. One set's called Path of the Nomad. There's another one that's called Sentry's Call. Basically, depending upon how you like to play, one set of gear may be better. So the gear sets now have more value around your type of play. So if you're more of a striker or a tank, there's gear that you can equip that will help balance you more that way. You know, whether you're playing more for armor or you're playing more for upping your reload speed and your skill speed, which is really cool, I think. I think a favorite thing that they released, and this is one of the things that, like, I wish Destiny had, like, earlier on, because I probably would still be playing the game if it happened, but they have loot swapping that's available now. So if I... yep.
Mm, okay.
So if I get good loot and I'm partied up with people, I can drop it and other people in my group can pick it up. So like if you and I grouped up, I could drop literally all my level 28 gear
and give it to me
and give it to you, and you could pick it up and stash it until you got to level 28 to be able to use it. So this is really cool. You can even do loot swapping inside the Dark Zone. So this is really key because in the Dark Zone, I can't tell you how many times, which the Dark Zone is the PvP area of the game where you can work collaboratively with people, but they might not collaborate with you when you actually get to the extraction point and try to get your loot out so that you can actually have it and use it. I've had people go rogue on me and try to steal my loot.
Man, because people are assholes.
Sometimes people are assholes. Sometimes people are just like, I'm so tired of like defending and trying to get my loot out. Like, fuck it. You get your loot, I get my loot, and we're all happy and we're going to go our separate ways. I like those people. The people that turn rogue on me, though, I hate them and fuck them in the face. Because more times than not, unless I'm in the Dark Zone with somebody, I usually end up fucked every time and they take my loot. The bastards.
You effed in the A.
Which makes me very sad. They've added assignments. So, like, you will pick up assignments to kill, like, 10 cleaners or pick up specific intel and things like that and get different rewards or Phoenix credits, which Phoenix credits you use to buy some of the higher, more rare gear at the end of game, which is really necessary. Because you can really only get Phoenix credits in the Dark Zone by running the daily missions on hard or challenging. But now you'll also be able to get Phoenix credits by doing these assignments. So they're just adding in more ways to allow people to continue playing the game and explore the game that really do add value to what you're doing. And it's not just random grind, which I think is nice. And
I appreciate that.
You know, with between the loot swapping and adding incursions, and they're also adding in random supply drops to the Dark Zone. Because one of the things that's difficult about the Dark Zone is the bullets you have are the bullets you have. So unless you're constantly killing people to pick up new bullets, until you get to level 30 in the Dark Zone where you can open every chest that appears to you, you gotta run back out and find some freaking bullets when you run out or you have to use your damn pistol. So it can be really difficult at times to continue
running
around the dark zone.
I am all kinds of not ready for this.
Yeah, you're not ready. Nope. You're not ready for the dark zone. In all honesty, I didn't really start focusing on running through the dark zone until I got to level 30. And part of me thinks that that's a mistake because I really should have run around when I was like in level 10 and whatnot, because the dark zone level caps and difficulties change based off of your current level. So like when I was a level 10, which is the first level you can go into the dark zone level DZ1 was like in a level cap from like 10 to 15. And then DZ02 was like 15 to like 19. Well, when I hit 15, DZ01 went 15 to 19, and DZ02 went 19 to like 24. So it scales along with you. So you can't be like, oh, I'm going to get to 30 and just go into DZ01 and wreck everyone that's 10 to 15. It doesn't do that. When you hit level 30, DZ01 is 30 to 30. And DZ02 is 30 to 30. And DZ3 is 31 to 31. And you're like, why? I can't even get to 31. That's not fair. So a part of me was like, shit. I probably should have started in the dark zone when I was lower and explored more of the area, probably gotten some better gear earlier on, because the gear that you will get in the drop zone, if you can get it extracted, is better than the gear that you will typically find outside of the dark zone. And there are also some vendors buried within DZ03, I think, and DZ04 that sell some incredibly rare and high value gear. I haven't gotten there yet because I'm not ready to do that until I have a whole squad that's like 30. I do think that between the supply drop, the looting stuff, and the loot trading, the incursions, and even the ability now that when you die, you can now camera follow the rest of the team. So before, your camera was just firmly fixed on you, so you had to kind of like wallow in your shame of dying.
I have no shame. I feel like the common denominator of people in the division are dead on the ground. I feel like the majority. So those of you who don't die that often, what is wrong with you?
Like, I don't... like, before I hit, like, level 20, in all honesty, I died, like, a lot. Like, a lot. So I feel you on that. But you did have to kind of wallow in your own shame because your camera would stay fixed on you unless, like, somebody could pick you up if you were in a no respawn. So you just had to, like, circle yourself constantly. And, yeah, that's me dead. Yep. I'm dead. Yeah. Maybe if I'm lucky, somebody... Ooh, I see feet coming out. No, that's a bad guy. All right. But maybe I could... Nope, I'm gonna stay dead. Now, at least, when your agent dies, you can take your camera and focus on other players, and you can watch what they're doing, so you can actually see what's happening, as opposed to being stuck on yourself, which doesn't seem like it's a really big deal, but trust me, when you die a lot in a mission, being able to see the action that's going on and not just be focused on this gray area of your corpse laying, probably by itself, unmoving, definitely better experience to watch somebody else at least get their ass handed to them before you all respawn and try it again. But I think that it's a great addition, and there's some new weapons that are happening, and there's some DLC expansions that are going to happen throughout the year. What's interesting about those is that the Xbox is actually going to get access to them before PlayStation. So if you haven't jumped into The Division, now's a really good time to do it.
And if you're like me and you're stuck on level 8, don't worry. Someone will take pity on you.
Like your sister, who's been trying to get you to play with her for like weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
But whatever.
Someone will help you get into the double digits.
Yeah.
Someone will teach you what the fuck to do.
Yeah.
It will actually enhance barriers and you should use it.
Yeah, and you should fucking use that. Like a lot.
What did you just do?
And why didn't you do that like 10 minutes ago? You dink. So there's that. So that's what I have to talk about game-wise. Let's talk about a little anime. Because I promised you guys anime.
You did.
So I have started to watch some of the new season of anime. I've been mostly spending my time on Funimation, but I have checked out a couple of things on Crunchyroll as well. I'll be talking about some of the Crunchyroll stuff after our PAX episode. But right now I'm going to talk about one particular series that I've been watching on Funimation that I just started. There's only two episodes currently available on Funimation. And what is funny about this series is that it reminds me a little bit of Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon?
Is it, though?
I don't really think it is. And we've had this conversation before. I don't really think it's wrong to pick up girls in a dungeon. Because, hey, if she's in the dungeon and you're in the dungeon, obviously you guys have something in common already to start your bond off with. You both are in a dungeon.
So, I mean, if it's just you and, like, a shorty and there are no other shorties, well,
okay,
eventually,
so
the cravings are going to happen.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, you both are in a very unique place. You don't end up in a dungeon by accident. So, obviously, she's there with purpose. You're there with purpose.
That's not necessarily true, because you can get abducted and then get put into those murder games, and you don't know why you're there. Let's be real. In the
okay,
anime world, people get
right.
dumped into murder games.
They do get dumped into murder games. This does
and
happen.
And they're in a dungeon, and
but,
they don't know why.
But then again, you're in a place with purpose because you're trying to get the fuck out this dungeon because you don't even know why you're in the dungeon.
Right.
So you're there with purpose. She's there with purpose.
There might
Y'all
be
have a common purpose.
Agenda, maybe.
There might be, but you guys still have a common aligned goal.
Man.
You can bond over that.
I'm kind of glad, and I'm gonna lightly knock, so I apologize for the audio, but I'm knocking on wood because I pray to God, not that I'm religious, but I pray to God that I never get stuck in, like, a murder game because I'm slow, I am not agile, I do not have good hand-eye coordination, I am fucked. Everyone will vote me off the, I'll be the first one dead because I'm gullible, I like to be friendly. So I'm like, hey,
you can't be friendly in a murder game, you can't be.
Decapitate me.
Did you not watch Dabunganga?
Yeah,
Dabunganga,
and still, can't be the nice guy because you know what happens to the nice guy? He gets framed for murder.
Yeah, he does. Every time, sis.
Every
time.
Every time. So you kind of have to be that asshole who's like...
You don't kind of. You have to be the asshole.
You got to be that person. Like, look, it's like, I need to find out who the biggest competitor is and find a way to get them killed without me having to kill them.
Like, you got to walk in and deck everybody in the face. Like, you have to be...
You have to find the bad bitch
asshole. Yeah.
And, like, punch her in the mouth.
Like, dead in the mouth. And hope that you drop her and that she doesn't just take the punch and reel her head back and come back and look at you and go, ha 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 ha. Because then you're her bitch and you're going to die because you're going to get framed for murder.
Actually, there's now that you bring up Danganronpa, which.
Danganronpa!
God, I wish I had a Vita. Rest in peace, Vita. I could fucking play the games.
Wait, you don't have to worry about that. They're porting it.
I know, but I have to wait for the port.
Yeah, you have to wait for the port.
A game came out fairly recently. The fiancé has it on his DS called Zero Escape, which is from the Escape series.
Yep.
Which is pretty much like Danganronpa without the, like, neon blood everywhere. So it's less of a Tarantino movie and, like, a regular movie. And, like, he loves it. And when I get paid this week, I'll probably buy it myself to play because I'm, you know... an adult with.
Are you gonna buy that or are you gonna buy Ratchet and Clank?
Oh!
I know, I had to say it right.
I'm flipping a fucking coin and letting fate decide it for me.
Because Ratchet and Clank, though. And I know that's your shit.
It is. You know, and like, and I've been so good about keeping, like, my passion for it at a, like, medium.
Yeah, I really thought that you were gonna be talking about it this week.
No, because I was like, Panda, you know what happens when you get that burning flame of passion?
Your wallet goes, no!
The world kind of melts down and the whole world becomes a soapbox. And you just get on that and then you filibuster for your life. And when you get off the box, you're wondering why you're 2 years older and your butt sags. And you don't understand just how much of a time consumption your passion is. And I was like, I will not do that again until it is absolutely necessary.
Right.
And right now is not
the time. It's not, right. No. Except now is the time for Ratchet and Clank.
I know.
And I'm just saying, like, on the list of things, like, comparing Danganronpa with Ratchet and Clank, though, I kind of have to be like, Ratchet and Clank, though. Ah. On the PS4, bro. Before the movie comes out, yo. Ah.
So, as of right now, I'm enthused. And I reserve all the comments for after I've touched it extensively to the point where it wants to put a restraining order on me.
Right.
And then I'll probably still sneak into its house and rub myself all over its bed sheets because, you know, that's normal.
You can't keep your hands to yourself?
No. Oh, my God. And when I saw that video, I was like, I understand your plight.
I mean, I could, but why would I want to? Like, that's really how I feel about video games.
Yeah. I'm like, Serena, I understand. I'm
like, I feel you. I feel you, dog. Like, I'm not a Selena Gomez fan, but that song, when you apply it to certain things, I'm like, yeah, no, I feel that exact same way. Like, that's how I feel
that way about guacamole.
Yeah, I definitely feel that way about guac. I feel that way about pop vinyls. I feel that way about video games.
I feel that way about Empire. Like, I wish I could actually physically touch the show. My eyes touch it a lot. Yo, and that's, like, okay.
We're probably going to have an Empire episode soon.
Oh, my God.
Not right now. All right, let's go back to focus. Focusing back. So, the
you
anime.
You up with Jack.
I know. I'm just
that's
saying.
That's all on you, bro.
So, I also could feel this way about anime. This is how I bring it back.
Good
circle.
Segue.
Okay. So, like I said, the anime that I'm going to talk about. Well, one, it has two names, because if you go by the manga name, the manga is You Thought Your Online Game Wife Wasn't a Girl? Question. When it became an anime, they flipped the script a little bit.
Oh, of course they did.
And so the anime name is And You Thought There's Never a Girl Online? Question mark. Which I'm not exactly sure how that's a question. That's more of a statement. But basically, here's the deal. So the anime is focused around, and this was based on a light novel, shouldn't be surprising, but it's focused on four characters. The male character in the game is named Hideki, and Hideki is a online game otaku, basically. He's addicted to online games.
Who isn't?
Like, really, really, truly. And so he's playing this game, a fantasy-based game, online in a guild, and there are three other members of his guild, a healer named Akko, again, this is in the guild, their mage is named Masters, basically what they call him, and then another character named Swine. So you basically have your knight, you have your mage, you have your attacker, and then you have a healer. Okay, and so the healer Akko is a female character. The other three characters, including Hideki's character, who's named Rushin, are all male characters. And everybody in the guild is talking after doing this raid together in a bar in the game and just starting to share a little bit more about themselves. And the leader of the guild, Master, decides, you know what? We're talking a lot of shit here. Why don't we have actually a meetup in real life? Because you guys are talking about how much you hate normies and all this kind of stuff. And we should just meet, like, for real. Right before they get ready to meet, Akko becomes Rusian's waifu in the game.
Waifu!
And Rusian, Hideki, was a little reluctant to accept Akko's constant asks to be his wife in the game, because as we learn in towards the middle of the first episode, when he was originally playing the game, he had met another character that was like a cat girl character and professed his love and wanted to marry them in the game. And I think like in real life be a couple. And finally the person playing the character was like, dude, I thought you knew. Like, I'm actually, like, really a guy, so I can't accept your proposal, because, like, I'm straight up a dude. Like, no girl says meow, like, all the time.
Yeah.
And it, like, broke Hideki. And so he was like, I'm never gonna have any real relationship contact with anybody ever again in this game. And, like, he left his guild and went and solo played the game for almost, like, a year before he fell into this new...
a wandering...
Yeah, so, like, you're already laughing, like, really, bruh, over, like, a game waifu, but All right.
Hey.
I know. Okay, look. I know sometimes they're serious. So I like, but again, this is an anime portraying this happen.
Right.
So, you know, it's above and beyond on the emotional stuff. So they go to have this in-person meeting, and Hideki is really kind of nervous about everything and is starting to rethink his participation in the meetup. And Akko introduces herself. She's one of the first people to make it to the meetup. And Akko is almost identical to her character in the game.
Of course.
And so she is, in fact, a girl, because, like, what Hideki finally decides that, you know, through his journey, he learned the real truth about online games, and the real truth is, it doesn't matter if the person on the other side of the keyboard is a dude or whatever, if their character is super cute in the game, then I can love their character, because that's who I'm in love with, and so that's what it'll be like, and that's what his rationale was for accepting Akko's thing. Even though Akko kept going, but no, I'm a girl in real life. And Hideki would be like, yeah, sure. If you believe that you're a girl, then you're a girl. That's what I'm saying. And she's like, but no, I am in fact like a girl.
Like.
And she turns out to look identical to her character. She's got long flowing, slightly wavy black hair, big blue eyes, ridiculously large chest for a girl who's in her first year of high school. And then the other two characters show up, and it turns out that Master is actually not a male in real life, but a female. And not only that, but is a student body president at Hideki School.
Okay.
And the other character of Svein, who is their attacker, turns out to be the tsundere, two-tail, blonde pigtail character who, like, treats Hideki like shit in their class. So they all actually go to the same school, because as they're introducing themselves, they find out that Akko, whose real name is Tamaki Akko, so she used her own name when she created her own character, also goes to their school and is a first year, and none of them had even known that she actually went to their school. So it's very interesting that, like, all these players all go to the same school. One is in their third year and the other ones are all in their first year. Two of them are in the same class together, so they have the little outing, and they talk about stuff in the real life, and they have some food together, and share some jokes together, and get to know everyone's first names and things like that. The next day at school, Akko starts trying to be just as friendly with Hideki and Sagara, who's the shrine character, and they're like, no, we keep that on the down low here at school, like, we're not our game characters, and Akko is having a really difficult time separating reality from the game world, and so everyone decides they have to work to help her do that so that she doesn't have difficulty, like, when they leave school. So the whole premise of the rest of the series is for them to come up with ways to help Akko separate game reality and real reality, all while they're going through school and continuing to play this game together as a guild. So it's very comical, and the style of the characters very much reminds me of Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in the Dungeon? And I think that it's going to be just as lighthearted, but also kind of serious. And I think what's going to end up happening is that through all of this stuff, Akko and Hideki will end up being a real couple in reality outside of being a couple in the game. And that the student council president, who seems to be, like, the omniscient character above all of them, like, she already has, like, a vision for what's going to happen, and so she's just there to facilitate it happening.
Okay.
Because, like, she starts a... They all say that, like, they don't interact, they don't have friends, they don't participate in clubs. She forms, basically, a computer club.
So that they could all go and play.
Yeah. And, like, signed off on forms and got, like, these ridiculously overbuffed PCs built. And there's only four of them in the group. And there's only four PCs in the group activity in the club room. So they all have, like, these ridiculously beefed up PCs for them to play together. It's just so silly. But she, like, orchestrated the whole thing when everyone decided that they had to figure out a way to help Akko separate her realities. She went off on her own and just came back and was like, hey, everybody, so here's what I've been doing, and this is why you haven't seen me all day, because I had to file all the paperwork to get this club done and get all this gear here and sign you guys all up for the club, so this is our club. We have a club. And they're like, wait, what? No, I don't do club activities, so I'm going back to my desk. And she's like, Well, you could do that, but we're going to be here playing on these machines, which means we're going to rank up faster, and we're going to have all kinds of gear, which means we're going to be able to go into looting areas that you can't go into unless you play with us. Oh, and by the way, your machine is kind of underpowered. Like, wasn't that the reason why you had lag? And so these machines are not. So really, it would be in your best interest to join the club. Like, it's so...
Like, look at all this stuff.
Exactly. So I really like the dynamic that's set up in the group. The art style is really nice. And it's just a very irreverent topic. And I like when series really kind of put multimedia into their storytelling mechanics. So I'm in the real world, but I'm also playing this game. And so that has its own reality and it has its own consequences. And I come back out of it or not. Or I'm stuck in this new reality, like No Game, No Life. Or,
oh man, that series.
Yeah, I liked that one. There's another one that I just started watching where, oh, I can't remember what the name of it is right now, but it's another series that I'm watching. It's like re-something where the lead character got somehow forced into this alternate reality where he's playing through basically his life, and every time he messes up and dies, he gets brought back to the first moment where he was brought into the fantasy world to buy an appa, which is basically an apple. So it's kind of like that Tom Cruise movie where every time he dies, he resets.
I enjoyed that movie, watching him just die over and over.
Right, but this is basically that in anime form. And so he's brought into this fantasy world where he's trying to help this girl that he's met that he doesn't actually know her real name. And he keeps having to basically not get killed and get this emblem back to her because she's some kind of witch. But he constantly fucks up and ends up dying. And it's not until it's like his fourth death where he realized, oh shit, it's basically like a video game. And every time I die, I reset to here. So I need to do things differently and meet these different people and do these things so that I don't die or we don't all die. Because otherwise I'm going to reset. Fuck, I reset. So what did I miss? And I like that mechanic where the character is aware that the reality isn't the reality.
Right.
And that seems to be a running theme from last season carried over into this season. So, again, like I said, it was a light novel. It's been turned into an anime. It is called And You Thought There's Never a Girl Online. I know that it's running on Funimation. It's running on Hulu. So you can watch it in those two places.
Not on Crunchyroll yet?
I don't think this one's on Crunchyroll. At least I didn't see it on Crunchyroll when I was looking. When I first ran across its artwork, which, frankly, the big intro for me into most anime is when I look at its artwork for its series. If the initial art's like something that catches my eye, I will usually watch the first episode. And after like the first 5 minutes of the episode, if I'm not in, I'm probably not going to be in. So I abandon it. So I watched this one.
I have abandonment issues. Don't say things like that.
But this one definitely hooked me. So I watched both of the episodes that were available on Funimation. And then the other one that I watched on Funimation, and this one, I don't know how long it's been out. So this one, I think, Panda, is going to be really up your alley because it's about food, but not in the same way as Food Wars.
I thought you were going to be like,
as far as like making dishes.
Season 2, and I was all like, panties dropped.
Right, yeah, no.
Take my money.
Trust me, as soon as I know when season 2 of Food Wars is dropping, like, we will have an event here at the house and watch together, and
oh my God,
you will make gacha pork. And
recipe.
And we
I
will.
I haven't made gacha pork in forever.
Yeah, you should
Did make
me some.
Did I make that some. For you? I can't even remember the last
Yeah,
time
but you didn't make it fresh. I had to reheat it, and so it wasn't the same. It was
well,
good,
sorry.
But it wasn't the same. I'm just saying, like, you can make a dish for someone, and when it's hot out of the oven fresh, it tastes dramatically different than reheated.
It was
the
still
reheat,
good.
It sure. was still good. I killed it, okay? The reheat was good, but it probably would have been better if I had eaten
Your clothes
it.
Would have, like, bursted off.
This is what I'm saying. As opposed to being like, oh, wow, this is really good. I probably wouldn't be like, this is the best piece of food ever! But I didn't
Got
have
it.
That experience.
Okay. Understood.
Okay. It's like when you're really hungry and somebody is like, "Oh man, I just had pizza delivered. Do you want a slice?" And hand you a hot slice
oh
of like
my
right
God,
from the box
the cheesiest
pizza.
Of pizza.
Right. Okay. Now, the pizza the next day reheated, good, but not the same.
Oh my god, the best pizza in the world.
As like right out of the box first slice. Like, hey, you're welcome. I'm just saying, like, there's a difference. Okay? There's a difference. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that it's not good. It's just differently good. Okay? Same thing with this series. It's called Dagashikashi. And basically, it's based off of this manga. And it's about a candy store. The lead character is named Kokonotsu. Everybody calls him Coconuts. Kokonotsu, his dad has run the family candy store in this little small village for, you know, like 8 generations. And so he wants Kokonotsu to be the 9th family member to run the candy store. He always calls him the successor. And and Kokonotsu is like, we stopped trying to make it sound so elegant. It's a candy store, Dad. Like, relax.
Like, it's been passed down from generation to generation.
Okay, it's not like a mega conglomerate here. We have a tiny one-room candy store in this podunk village. Like, relax your titties.
It's a big deal.
Kokonotsu actually wants to be a manga artist. And so in the first episode, you see his dad, who's like in a, not a kimono, but a yukata. And he's like looking over this paperwork. Kokonotsu comes into the room and he's like, you know, the story element's a little weak here, but you definitely have something going with this character, but I think you should rewrite it because this concept makes no sense. And Kokonotsu looks at him and he's like, oh, will you make some good... And he goes, wait, that's my manga. I didn't tell you you could look at it. Like, why'd you go to my room? And he's like...
Let's don't read my diary, Jake.
Exactly. Exactly. So the dad is a very comical character. He will act a lot of times flamboyant, even though he's not gay. So he does a lot of, like... You know how sometimes they'll make a burly character that is obviously a gay character and they'll do, like, very effeminate swirlies and body wiggles and things like that?
Yes.
So Yo, Kokonatsu's dad, does that a lot. And he's constantly, like, super emotional and always crying, like, I don't understand. Why won't you do this thing that I want you to do for our family so that I can relax because I know that you will do this and it's amazing. And Kokonatsu's like, oh, will you stop being dramatic? And then, like, he'll switch his style and be very, very serious. So he's...
Please tell me this is on Crunchyroll because I feel like I want to watch this tonight.
So I don't know if this is on Crunchyroll or not. I've been watching it on Funimation. But if it's on Funimation, more than likely it's available on Hulu Plus. Okay. Because a big chunk of the Funimation stuff
like
ends up over it.
Yeah, no, I should watch.
This is what I'm saying. Like, this is totally a series that you need to watch. So they're having this battle back and forth, and Yo goes to run an errand and has Kokonotsu watching the shop. And this girl comes in who looks a lot like this character that he's been drawing in his anime. And supposedly they've never met before, at least up to the episodes that I'm into in the series. They haven't met before. But she's actually the daughter and the heir of the Shidare snack group. And so, like, she is ridiculously knowledgeable about every snack on the planet. And her mission, she was sent to recruit Yo, Kokonotsu's dad, to go work for the Shidare group to help further build their snack empire. Because evidently, somehow, some way, Yo is, like, legendarily known and revered within the snack world.
Oh, God. He's like...
Yeah. Okay? And he's like, no, I can't do it. You know, I love our little snack thing here. We've built a little mini empire. My son is going to one day be my successor and all this kind of stuff. If I could just convince him to take over the store. And he's like, whatever, Dad, I'm not going to do it. So he makes a deal with Hotaru Shidare, the girl, and is like, hey, if you can convince my son to take over the shop, sure, I'll come and work at Shidare Group. And she's like, challenge accepted.
Oh, God.
And literally, she goes, challenge accepted, and throws a thumbs up to the screen, and then proceeds to, in the episodes that follow, constantly show up at the shop, challenge Kokonotsu to various snack challenges. Like, there was one that they did where you had to be blindfolded and your hands had to be tied behind your back so that way you couldn't tell what kind of snack it was by touch. And they just had to be fed these snacks, and based off of what they were tasting, describe what they were tasting, and then figure out what type of this particular snack. I'm not even going to try to say the name because I know I'm going to mess it up. But it basically was a brown sugar encrusted snack, and they had to try and figure out which one it was based on the taste. And so they were just having this snack battle back and forth.
Snack battle!
They had a Ramune challenge one that they went back and forth with. There's a sour candy one, like, because everything is all around the various candies. And Kokunotsu is always impressed with not only by how pretty Shidari is, but just how knowledgeable she is. And as you go through episodes, you realize all she knows actually is snacks. It's obvious that she really hasn't had any other experience in the world. Like, she goes to a cafe in the city, and the girl that runs the cafe makes her a coffee and is like, here you go. And she's like, oh my god, this is what coffee is like? And she's like, yeah. She's like, and do you want anything to go with it? Because, you know, like, I can whip something up for you. And she's like, oh, you're so hospitable. And she's like, well, it's not that I'm hospitable. I'm like, but you're in the cafe, so the least I can do is hook you up. And she's like, oh my god, this is a cafe? I've never been to one. And you're like, you're at least, like, 15 or 16, based on how you look.
It's a trope. It's a trope that they like to use. They did it in Host Club, where like all the rich, like the rich guy Tamaki, really had no idea how poor man lived. And yes. Anytime Haruhi brought anything that was like lower class, he was like, "What is this instant coffee? How do you do it?" Like, they make them. I don't want to say dumb, even though it's dumb in a way.
No, they're just
ultra naive about. Yes. Everything else but whatever their focal thing is.
It's really very, very interesting, and it has the same intensity around snacks that Food Wars has around entrees.
Okay. Oh.
And so it's not that they're making the snacks, but really understanding the business of, like, why you make a certain snack more difficult to eat. And it's because, well, kids don't have a lot of money. And so if they buy a snack that's gone in a second, then they only have that euphoria for a second, and then it's gone.
It's like Willy Wonka a little bit.
Exactly. So you make a snack that it takes a little bit longer for them to, like, eat by making it difficult for them to get into it, and therefore they feel like they've gotten their money's worth because they've had an adventure, or it's taken them, you know, 10 seconds to chew through a wrapper to get to something. Or if you actually add speed and, like, rotation to the movement of the candy in your mouth when it has a rice paper wrapper, it'll actually change the flavor profile of the candy. And you're just like, wow, like, this is actually some really interesting information. And it's all based on real candies that exist in Japan. So, like, there was one episode where, like, there's this one candy that's, like, basically if you eat one of their caramels, it'll basically give you the energy that you would need to run, like, 300 meters. And they've got to get someplace across town that's, like, 1,500 meters away.
So they eat one, and then they prove that
And they're like, oh, we've got enough energy to run. And so after we get, like, to 310 meters, we pop another candy to get through the next 300. And so it's, like, this relay race, and they get to, like, just being 300 meters away from where they need to be, because they're trying to get back to the cafe to pick up this notebook before Saya, who's the chick that runs the cafe, can look at the notebook, because Kokunotsu had been doing some drawings, and it turns out he was accidentally drawing both Hotaru and Saya, and he had drawn them basically like how they were, including their current boob level. And To, who is his friend that constantly wears sunglasses and is also Saya's, I think, twin brother, grabbed the notebook, was like, no, you completely drew them wrong, and, like, drew over Kokunotsu's drawings and made Hotaru's boobs way bigger, and then sliced Saya's boobs in half. And he's like, oh my god, if Saya actually opens this notebook and sees this, she's gonna kill me. So I need to get there. And so that's the whole premise of why he was trying to run back to the city, which is 1,500 meters away, because he wanted to get the notebook out of the booth before Saya saw it, and he arrived like 3 seconds too late, and Saya saw it and then proceeded to beat him, and that's how the episode ended. So it's definitely a comic relief type series, but it's very intense about the snacks. And so you get to see various real products that exist be flushed out for the who, what, when, where, how, and why they are, with all this comic relief underneath. And, you know, Saya obviously has a crush on Kokunotsu. Kokunotsu has no idea about it. To, Saya's brother, has already picked up on it and knows. But, like, Kokunotsu is just completely oblivious to the fact. And I think the series is setting it up so that Kokunotsu and Hotaru will end up being some kind of item just because of their snack knowledge. So there's a lot of fun anime going around. And these are just a couple that I've checked out. I'm going to be looking at Kiznaiver this week and probably jumping back into Assassination Classroom just because the new season started a while ago. And I have definitely. You need to. You would like it. You would really like it. So that's what I got on the anime tip to close things out. Like we said, we were going to be talking about PAX East, and that's just to let you know, PAX East is next week.
So we will be on site, talking to people, playing games, sitting in panels, hitting up the tabletop, eating expensive hot dogs.
You just won't get over those $8 hot dogs, will you?
I will never.
And you know they're probably going to be like $10 this year because inflation is a thing.
Oh, I get so mad. It infuriates me because I could buy a whole pack of hot dogs for like $4. And it doesn't make any sense to buy one for $10. Like, give a bitch two. Like, I'm a big bitch. One is not going to work. And I'm not paying $20 for two. Like, longer than average fucking hot dogs on a soggy-ass bun. I'm just not doing it.
Except you will.
I hate myself.
You'll be like, oh, fuck it. I'm not standing in the pizza line. Can I get two hot dogs? Yes, I know they're $10 a piece. Like, it's like my guac shirt. You know?
It's like, yes, I know it's extra.
Yes, I know they're $10. Give me two hot dogs. God damn it.
I can't. And you're like, oh, I could get a salad, but who wants to sit on a fucking carpet and eat salad? Like, no.
You're like, come on, man. Let me just, like, get some hot food. But then you're like, shit, it's going to take 45 minutes for me to get the hot food. And by the time I get it, it's not going to be that hot.
And by the way, I probably missed two appointments even thinking about getting into a sit-down restaurant.
Yeah. See, that's where you make the mistake.
Fucking give me tacos on the go.
Like, see, that's the thing.
Also,
like,
have that fucking place, that, like, food pavilion, like, give everyone, like, a 30-minute. Like, you get in, you get your food, a big timer. When that goes off, get the fuck out. Other people need to sit and eat. I hate it, because I go there, and I stand in my line for my fucking $8 slice of pizza, which is clearly not the size of, like, a Sparrow slice, which would make more fucking sense. Oh, do I want soda? That's $4. Fuck it. I'll have water. Fine.
And but then that's $4 too.
And then there's no place to sit, so you're standing while all the other ants are all like, scary, 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 scary. It's all the game shit. And, like, you can't even enjoy your pizza because you're like, fuck, I got 2 minutes before I have to get to the other side of this fucking place for an interview. But oh wait, I have 3 articles to write at the fucking media room. Can't stand it sometimes. The hustle, man, it is real. It is so real.
And that's why I no longer book appointments around what I think is going to be my lunchtime.
Your time to eat. Like, you need fucking time to legit, get it. Like, you need to get a place to get comfortable to eat it. And then you have to worry about bitches tripping on your legs even when you're sitting cross-legged.
Yo, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, Panda. I'm going to tell you right now. My plan this year is that I'm booking one appointment before noon each day, and that's it. And then after that appointment, I'm going to the media room and writing up a piece. And then I'm taking myself away from the BCEC. I'm, like, probably going to walk over to, like, the Seaport area and go to one of the sit-down restaurants over there and eat.
You have Wi-Fi, because then you could work while you eat.
I have my own Wi-Fi.
Oh, well, not all of us have that.
So I'm just saying, so Panda, if you want to, like, schedule your day correctly, we could go to, like,
I just don't have
Temma's Cal or Rosa Mexicano or the Priest.
Oh, hell yeah, the Priest.
Okay, and have, like,
you know,
$10 bro, worth of real food.
Bro, like, I don't understand.
It's because you can get it, because the BCEC is making money on those concessions. So,
and those $10 fucking hot dogs!
Exactly. But we will be at PAX East. Not only will we be doing the $10 hot dogs, but we will be meeting with a bunch of different people, bunch of indie guys, as well as some of the big guys. You know, Sony is going to be there this year. It's going to be kind of interesting to see what they're going to bring to the table. Microsoft's going to be there. Nintendo is actually going to have a little bit of a presence. And I think mostly it's because of their mobile games. You know, Miitomo's doing so well. I think they're going to be showing that off.
Oh my God, I hope they have some new questions. Like, it'd be really great. And I know they won't do this, but if they did... Because, I mean, Nintendo already kind of has a dominated base because everyone, you know, if you don't use your DS, like, ever, you totally bring it to PAX because of all them street passes.
Yeah, it's really the only reason that I... And you're going
to release a new freaking PAX-only, like, pitcher. Like, they're so genius. It's like fine wine. Like, because, like, I use...
Or fine vinique, like I'm drinking right now.
I don't use my 3DS very often, but I bring every PAX... So that if I'm ever in a line, like, waiting for my goddamn hot dog or my pizza, I can, like, pass, like, 80 people by the time I get it.
Right.
But I'd love for them to have, like, PAX East-related questions in Miitomo. I think that'd be a really cute thing.
Granted, that would be very smart.
It would keep everybody on their phones and on their 3DSs and not...
And probably, like, smacking into people all the damn time.
Like, oh, sorry, Miitomo. Miitomo, oh, we should be friends.
Yeah, that's pretty much what's going to happen. People are like, oh, Miitomo. That's going to be the I'm sorry of PAX East.
Oh, I chose the heart symbol. Everyone who wants to be my friend, choose the heart symbol. That's me.
Oh, Miitomo. But,
it'd be genius.
So, we are definitely going to be spending some time with Square Enix. We're going to be spending time with Ubisoft.
Adult Swim Games.
We're definitely going to be spending a lot of time with Adult Swim Games. They're bringing like 6 or 8 games to the lineup.
I can't wait to get my hands all over them.
We are going to be all over the mega indie booth like, what? We're also going to spend some time with Astro Gaming because, as you know, they are unofficially the official headset of Electric Sitsu in the Land of Ash.
I don't know what we need to do because I feel like a partnership should just happen.
At this point, I look
at my setup and I've got like 3 Astro headsets.
Yeah, like at this point, we really just need to make it official in some way, shape, or form.
Like, guys.
Seriously.
Put me on camera and I will wear head to toe, like... And I'm a big girl. I'll cut up shirts and sew them so that it can fit my...
No, they have some shirts that fit us.
But, like, I'll wear leggings.
Okay.
I will wear Astro leggings. And I will get white Vans.
We don't...
Like, damn, Panda.
Damn, Panda. Back at it again with the white
Vans.
But no, like they have the Astro Gear, the shirts fit us. We both have some of the t-shirts.
I know.
And their hats. We could definitely gear up on our live streams, which are coming, guys.
We have some pretty awesome.
We have some special stuff coming too. Like, we're going to do some live stuff.
Let's make sure we look fresh.
On point. Always on point. Always on point. But we are going to be spending time with a lot of people at PAX East, so please make sure that you have liked us on Facebook, facebook.com/landofesh, that you follow us on Twitter at ESH News, that you check us out on Instagram. Our Instagram handle is at ESH News. Surprise, surprise. Easy to find. So make sure that you follow us there and engage. We're going to be sharing content throughout the show, posting stuff on our website, electricsisterhood.com, as well as on our social channels, sharing photos. We're going to be going to a bunch of different panels. We're going to do some interviews that we'll have up for you. It's just all kinds of great content coming out of PAX East. So please, please, please make sure that you check it out. We're also going to be sharing photos from the various parties and things that we do in the nighttime, which we'll be going to Twitch and we'll be going to Harmonix thing. So please, 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 please make sure that you check it out. And hey, if you're going to be at the show, message us on Facebook or on Twitter and be like, hey, Esh, I'm in the building. Where you're at? We'd like to see you. And, you know, we'll see if we can hook it up and, like, take photos together and, like, give you daps for being a fan because we love everybody who loves the podcast. So make sure that you hit us up on social and be part of everything that's going on at PAX. And like I said, we're going to be writing about and talking about all kinds of stuff, as well as having our traditional, I guess we have to call it at this point, annual podcast roundtable with some of our friends in the industry, talking about the whole show, what we love, what we didn't, then just the general, like, here's the experience just in case you weren't able to come. So lots of great stuff to come next week. Please make sure that you engage with us across all of that stuff. And definitely check out all of the guys that make up the Land of Esh, because we're not the only thing that exists here. There's B3Crew.com and the No Borders, No Race podcast, also celebrating 10 years of existence this year, which is super fantastic to be able to say. So definitely make sure.
It's like having a 10-year-old kid. You're like, where the fuck did you come from?
You're just like, where did the time go? Like, shit. We've been doing this for 10 years. Oh.
It's like you should be riding a bike right now.
Like, if it was a girl, she'd probably be wearing a bra at this point. Like, it's crazy.
Oh, God.
So, anyway.
Both our family jeans?
Yeah. Probably. Already. Like, but make sure that you check out B3Crew.com and the No Borders, No Race podcast hosted by our homeboy, KBD. Also, check out Smash Rook with live streams every Wednesday of all kinds of games, both new and old, across all the platforms, including PC. So make sure that you check out HamsterMan2049 at Smash Rook and the live streams on Wednesday Twitch. And also, can't say enough about how much we love Phil's recap and review, and we love the Issues guy over at issuesprogram.com. We're so proud of all of his subscriptions and all of his video views. Like, you guys have made just our day and his community and his day. So make sure that you check him out on YouTube. And last, certainly not least, newest to the Esh fam, nerdcrave.com. Kept down by our homie, Louis Hendricks. They're new to the game, but not new to the scene. If you like comics and games and manga and anime, then definitely make sure that you check out nerdcrave.com. And probably a podcast coming next year. So, like, show them some love, add them to your bookmarks, and again, just engage with us. Let us know what you want to hear us talk about, share, all that good stuff. Because trust me, we will more than likely do it. I have one more thing. It's kind of a big deal. If you like news and reviews, especially our news and reviews, there's all kinds of ways that you can get it, including now Apple News. That's right. If you have an iOS device and you use Apple News, you can get ESH news and reviews in Apple News. What? Oh my what? God. That's crazy. Yep.
Very
so
crazy.
Jump into the app. Go straight to search, look for Electric Sisterhood, hit the little plus right next to our name, and that will add us to your For You news. So as we put out new news articles and reviews, they will show up right on your For You page along with all the other channels that you have favorited. So add us to your favorites, check out our stuff, share it around. Definitely, definitely take a look at it. Make sure that you get our podcast, and you can get that also on your iOS device through the podcast application or on iTunes on your desktop by searching for Electric Sisterhood and subscribing. We're also in Stitcher Radio. We're also in Google Play. You can find our podcast on VogNetwork.com. Pretty much, if it's on the internet or you're on the internet, you can find our podcast and subscribe. But definitely make sure that you favorite us in Apple News and you subscribe to our podcast and enjoy the content that we create. Big week for us. Like, 10 years is really like, whew, it's the shit, man. So with that, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Until next time, guys.
Bye, everybody. See you at PAX East.
And I'm probably not going to give you an award this week.
That's okay. I don't feel I deserve it.
Okay.
It's okay.
Well, we have a lot of stuff on the back end to do, so I may just focus on the back end stuff leading out for a little while and not give an award. But I do want to come up with a list of awards.
Ahead of time?
Yes.
But not, don't tell me, obviously.
Right.
I think it's better. I don't know.
Right.